So, we're going to continue on in the introduction here, and we're going to get a little bit involved in the idea that we discussed in our previous class, which, just as a refresher, was that we mentioned this idea that the chain of the Masorah of Torah Baal Peh, according to the Rambam, by definition has to go from one Beis Din to the next, and therefore someone who has received the entirety of the knowledge of Torah Baal Peh, if they did not receive it from the Beis Din or from a student of the Beis Din, from someone who is a link in the chain from the previous Beis Din. So, for example, we discussed that Pinchas received the Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, still had to receive it from Yehoshua, because since Yehoshua was the Rosh Beis, the Rosh Beis Din, he was the Rosh Sanhedrin, he was the head of the Sanhedrin, so he becomes the defining next link in the chain, and anyone who wants to be a continuation of the Masorah has to then receive it from Yehoshua. So even though Pinchas received it directly from Moshe, he still had to receive it from Yehoshua in order to be considered a valid continuation of the Masorah, in order that anyone who received it from him could be considered a continuation. So that was the idea we discussed last week, and we're going to touch back on that in a little bit. So we want to discuss this morning, perfect timing, is Achia HaShiloni. Achia HaShiloni. So basically, just to pick up where we are, we have in the introduction, so the last thing we read was the point that Zakenim Rabim Kiblu Yehoshua, and Eli Kibel Eli Min HaZakenu Mi Pinchas. We pointed out that Eli received from Pinchas, does not say Pinchas and his Beis Din, because Pinchas did not have a Beis Din. He was not the Rosh Sanhedrin, as we explained a few weeks ago. Ushmul Kibel Mi Eli U Beis Dino. Shmuel received from Eli and his Beis Din, because Eli was the Rosh Sanhedrin. Eli did have a Beis Din and a Sanhedrin, because all of Klal Yisrael came together under Eli. And then David Kibel Mishmuel Beis Dino. David HaMelech received the Masorah from Shmuel. The Achia HaShiloni Miyotse Mitzrayim Haya. Achia HaShiloni was one of the people who left Mitzrayim. The Levi Haya, and he was a Levi. The Shama Mimoshe, and he learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. Vaya Katan Bime Moshe, and he was young in the days of Moshe. Vehu Kibel Mi David Ubeis Dino. And Achia HaShiloni, he received the Kabbalah, he received the tradition, the Masorah, from David HaMelech, and his Beis Din. And Achia HaShiloni was then the head of the Beis Din after the Rosh Sanhedrin after David HaMelech. So we'll discuss, we'll try and get back to exactly what the significance of the fact that Achia HaShiloni was a katan, was young in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, why that's significant. The fact that he's a Levi is a little bit of an interesting thing that the Rambam throws it in here. The reason it's interesting is because the Rambam, he's not just, you know, he doesn't want to just give us the yuchus of everyone he's naming, because Shmuel was also a Levi. But the Rambam does not tell us that Shmuel was a Levi. So exactly why the Rambam tells us that Achia HaShiloni was a Levi is not entirely clear. One possibility would be that it would go along with the fact that he just told us that he was Miyotze Mitzrayim, that he left Mitzrayim, and yet that he entered Eretz Yisrael. How could he, you know, if all of the Yotze Mitzrayim died in the Midbar? So one answer to that question could be that because he was a Levi, and the Gzeira of dying in the desert was not decreed upon on Shevet Levi, and that's how he survived. But we'll see. We'll see how much time we have left at the end, but our very last thing that we're going to see seems to indicate that that's not why Achia HaShiloni survived. But so unclear exactly why the Rambam feels that he should tell us that he's a Levi. But in terms of why he tells us that he was young and that he was a katan in the days of Moshe, that we'll try and get back to.
How many years were there between Moshe and David?
A lot. Let's see. Between the death of Moshe, I think around 400, something like that. Right. So that's what the Rambam says, that Achia Shioni, who was alive in the days of Moshe, actually learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, but he received the Kabbalah from David HaMelech, and he was the next Rosh Sanhedrin after David HaMelech. So the Ravid here, even in the Rambam's introduction, the Ravid did not let him have that for free, and the Ravid, even in the Rambam's introduction, has Hasagos, and the Ravid here takes issue with the Rambam, and we're going to try and figure out exactly what the Ravid's issue is. But the Ravid here on the little inner margin thing there. So the Ravid says, "V'achia shiloni yotz mitzrayim." So the Ravid says, "Amar Avram ein zeh nachon." So this is not correct. Ella shahaya achia shiloni mi beis dino shel David. That rather achia shiloni was from the beis din of David HaMelech. So exactly what the Ravid is bothered with here. So to say, he doesn't exactly tell us what the Rambam said that he doesn't like, and what he's saying that is different than from what the Rambam says. The Ravid says is not correct. Rather, Achia Shiloni was from David HaMelech's Beis Din. So for the Ravid to be saying that Achia Shiloni was a member of David HaMelech's Beis Din, so that doesn't seem like the Rambam would be. Who told you the Rambam is arguing with that? The Rambam, assumedly, most of the those who became the Rosh Sanhedrin did not come out of nowhere. They were previously part of the Sanhedrin, and then when the previous Rosh Sanhedrin died, stepped down, whatever happened, so then whoever was the greatest of those who were left in the Sanhedrin was elevated. An exception maybe by David HaMelech, which we discussed once upon a time, that a king is not allowed to be part of the Sanhedrin, and we suggested that David HaMelech was part of the Sanhedrin was because he wasn't a normal member of the Sanhedrin, he was the Rosh Sanhedrin, and being the Rosh Sanhedrin is not just a member of the Sanhedrin, that's a different status, and that a king was allowed to do. But so David HaMelech particularly would not have been a regular member of Sanhedrin, he wasn't allowed to be, but then he could have been, you know, when Shmuel passed on, so then David HaMelech could have been appointed from not being on the Sanhedrin at all to being Rosh Sanhedrin. Everyone else, you know, we would kind of assume they're part of the Sanhedrin. They were, you know, they didn't go from being a nobody to being the Rosh Sanhedrin. They were obviously a great Talmud Chacham, you know, before they were appointed to the Rosh Sanhedrin, so probably they were on the Sanhedrin, and they were part of the Beis Din. And then when the previous Rosh Sanhedrin was Nifter, or passed on, So then they took over from the hold on one second. Sorry, they just looked confused and weren't getting my hand signals.
So what's going on there?
As they're having this getting the most out of your doctor's appointment. Fine. So in general,
that's where I was going. This isn't it.
So this is how you get your most. You get the most out of your Rambam.
When are we going to get to that?
Yeah.
Rambam was a doctor. This must be background.
So seemingly we would assume that, you know, most of the Rosh Sanhedrins were first a member of the Sanhedrin and then became, you know, then were elevated up. So exactly the Rambam arguing and saying that Achia Shiloni was from the Beis Din of David, so that's who told the Ravid that the Rambam disagrees with that. So exactly what the Ravid's problem is, we'll have to try and figure out. So the Kesef Mishnah here, the Beis Yosef, so the Kesef Mishnah here, he has a suggestion. So he quotes the Ravid, we're on the bottom of the page now, and he says, Nira Shata'amo Lomar, what the Ravid means to say is, Shekevin Shahaya Zakin Muflag Biyoser, since Achia Hashiloni was very old, Ain Nachon Lomar Shekibel Midavid Shayat Sayer Liyamimimenu. It's not correct, it's not right to say that he received the Masorah from David, who was far younger than him. V'gam b'chachma asher shahaya Achia agamal mimenu. And it's also possible that really Achia was greater in chachma and wisdom than David HaMelech was. Imi shum de b'yeshishim chachma, either because of pasuk in Shirashim in Mishle b'yeshishim b'yeshishim chachma, that in the with the elders we find wisdom. The imi shum de kibel Moshe, or because Achia Yishoni heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. For one of those two reasons, we should say that it's you know reasonable to assume that Achia Yishoni was really greater in Chachma than David HaMelech. So to say that he received the Masorah that he learned from David HaMelech doesn't seem to make sense. Why should he be learning from David if he's really greater than David? So what the Ravid is saying is what the most you could say is Shahaya mi base dino shel David, that he was part of David's Beisdin. Shahaya David, David Hai Rosh Sanhedrin, that David was the Rosh Sanhedrin and Achia Yishoni was part of the Beisdin, but not that he was, you know, Achia Yishoni was not learning from David. Uladas Rabbeinu, so what does the Rambam hold? Yesh Lomar, Sha'api, Shanomar, Shahaya Chacham Galami David, even though the Rambam will agree that Achia Yishoni was really greater than David. Yitzdak Lomar, it still makes sense to say, it's still correct to say, Kibel mi David, that he received from David, Lomar Shanisha Rosh Kabbalah mi Mekom, which means to say that he was left as the Rosh Sanhedrin after David, which really means when he says Kibel, it doesn't mean he actually received the Masorah, but he took the reins from David, that he received the leadership position from David, but not that he actually received the Masorah from David. So says the Kesef Mishnah, that what the Rambam really agrees to what the Ravid is saying, and there's no real machlokas here. It's just kind of a semantic issue. The Ravid is bothered with implying that Achia Yishoni learned from David HaMelech. He's much older and he's wiser, that he doesn't need to learn from David HaMelech. And the Kesef Mishnah is saying really the Rambam agrees. And that's what the Rambam meant to say. The Rambam just meant that he was, he was left with the position of Rosh Sanhedrin. He was handed the reins from David HaMelech.
Hmm?
He was the next in line. Right. So the Kesef Mishnah is very difficult to understand. And issue number one here is that the Rambam himself, turn the page, and we've seen this before, but the Rambam in the Yad, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, skip to the underlined part, but he's talking about how they set up the Bate Dinim in the Sanhedrin. He talks about the 70 people in the Sanhedrin, plus the one who was on in charge of them. So he says, Hagadol b'chachma shebekulon, the one who is the wisest among them, Moshimin Oso Rosh Alan. He is the one who was appointed to be the head of the Sanhedrin. Vehu Rosh HaYeshiva. Vehu Shekarin Oso Racham Nasi B'chol Makor. The leader of the Sanhedrin is the one who was the greatest in Chachma. So question number one is that the Rambam seems to be saying here a halacha that the person who is the greatest in Chachma, he's appointed the head of the Sanhedrin. So how could it be if Achia Yishoni was greater than David in Chachma, so then he should have been appointed as the Rosh Sanhedrin instead of David? Why was David HaMelech appointed instead of Achia Yishoni if Achia Yishoni was really greater? So one could suggest, maybe on behalf of the Kesef Mishnah, that this is the Rambam says here is not really a halacha, but is rather, Eitza Tova, is good advice for the Sanhedrin. Was the general practice of the Sanhedrin was that, obviously you want to have the wisest, the one who knows the most, the one who's holding the most in the Masorah as the head of the Sanhedrin, as the one leading, and therefore that's what they would do, but that's not a halach, that's not a requirement, and, if there are a reason to do so, then they would not do that. Then they would find the other other considerations, then someone else could end up being the Rosh Sanhedrin. The issue with that is a couple of things. First of all, that I mean, first of all, it's a little bit of a doke-off. It's a little bit, you know, forcing that into the Rambam. The Rambam here, you know, everything that he's been talking about, halachas, aleph, and beis, were of Hilchos Sanhedrin, were halachas. And the beginning of halacha Gimel is a halacha, that there needs to be 71 people in the Sanhedrin. And the so exactly why the Rambam is sticking in just an Eitz HaTovah in the middle here would seem to be, you know, that's not really the implication of the Rambam. But on top of that is that if we turn back to the first page, we discussed this a number of weeks ago. I probably should have underlined it just so we could reference back to it earlier. But when the Rambam says that Elazar, Pinchas, Yeshua, Shloshdan kiblu mi Moshe. Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua, the three of them received from Moshe. Ula Yeshua, shehu talmido shel Moshe Rabbeinu, matar Torah shebal peh v'tziva oleh. And to Yeshua, who was the Talmid of Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave the Torah shebal peh, and he was Moser the Torah shebal peh, and put him in charge of it. So the Rambam, we explained at that time, is really dealing with an issue here. That Yeshua, Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua were equals in their Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore the Rambam had to give a justification for why Yehoshua was chosen. Because it seems to be that there's to choose the greatest is really the what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to choose whoever was the greatest. And so if Yehoshua was being chosen among three equals, it needs to be explained, they need to give a justification for why Yehoshua was picked out of those three if all three of them are equal. So then there seems to be nothing else to determine who should be in the head. Everywhere else, the Rambam doesn't give us an explanation for who was chosen, because everywhere else it's just an application of this halacha that we see, that we just saw in Sanhedrin, that you appoint the greatest person. So if Ahiya Shiloni is, I'm sorry, David HaMelech is being appointed as an exception to this general principle of appointing the person who's the greatest in the Chokhmah, so the Rambam should give us a reason why. Why was David HaMelech appointed instead of Ahiya Shiloni? Right? And if we go a step further, according to the reasoning that the Beis Yosef gave us, the Beis Yosef says that you know why Ahiya Shiloni was greater, either because he was older, he was around since the days of Mitzrayim, when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, or because he learned directly from Moshe. So those two reasons happen to also should apply to Ahiya Shiloni being greater than Shmuel and Eli. So not only should Ahiya Shiloni have been greater than David, he should be greater than Shmuel and also greater than Eli. So it turns out that not once and not twice, but three times, Ahiya Shiloni got passed over for Shmuel and for Eli and for Eli and Shmuel and for David. And the Rambam doesn't give a key who's there. He doesn't give any hint of an explanation for what should be the reason for this skipping over Ahiya Shiloni so many times. If the good advice is to appoint the greatest in Chachma, and Ahiya Shiloni was the greatest in Chachma, so why three times are we ignoring that good advice, that this most sensible approach to who to put as the Rosh Sanhedrin? And perhaps you might say that there was, you know, there was a reason, there was a common reason for Eli, Shmuel, and David, which is that they were all the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And so therefore, you know, even though they might not have been the greatest, they, you know, they were great, and they were also the leader of Klal Yisrael, and therefore they were appointed, even though they weren't the greatest. So there's two problems with that. Problem number one is that if that's the case, then Shlomo HaMelech should have taken over from David, because Shlomo HaMelech was also the ruler over all of Klal Yisrael. And second of all, that if there happens to be this halacha or this interest of this consideration that if someone is in a position of being in charge, that they should be put in charge of the Sanhedrin. So the Rambam should tell us that somewhere. In Sanhedrin, he only tells us one thing. He tells us the greatest in the Chachma, you put at the head of the Sanhedrin. He doesn't tell us that unless there's a ruler, unless he's a ruler. If this is three times we're overriding the greatest in Chachma because we want to put the ruler in charge. You know, we think the Rambam would mention that somewhere. That seems to be an even more important rule than appointing the greatest in Chachma. So what exactly is the... So how could you explain the Rambam with this line of reasoning? So it ends up that basically three times with no explanation were violating this idea, this rule, that the greatest in Chachma should be put in charge. And we don't really have any clear explanation for why. And then Achi Ashiloni comes in and he doesn't go to him instead of Shlomo HaMelech. So the Beis Yosef is very difficult to understand if you take it at face value. Now, in terms of what the Beis Yosef, his argument, that either because of the Yeshishim Chachma, that, you know, that wisdom comes with age, and Achi Ashiloni had lived for a very long time, so assumedly he had become very wise over those years. And the other point that he makes is because of he learned directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. So it does seem to have compelling arguments. So what do you do with that? So the Rambam. So the first thing. So let's first talk about the Ibi Yeshishim Chachma. This point that with the elders we find wisdom. So if you turn to the third page of our source sheet, so the Rambam in Mor Nevochim actually explains this very pasuk as one of his examples of an alternate meaning of what Chachma can mean. The Rambam here has several different definitions of what Chachma can refer to. It can refer to, you know, wisdom, normally the things that the Seifel is masig. But so he says that there are really four different things that Chachma can refer to. So the second one that the Rambam says, or the third one that the Rambam says, is underlined here. It says in Perek Nun Dalid of Chelek Yimel Amar Nevochim. The Rambam says, "V'ne'emar al sigol hamaylos hamidotios," that Chachma can also refer to that which leads to, or the acquisition of character refinement. And he brings his examples, Sukkim, where you see this, and he says, the Zakenav Yechakim, the elders will, the Zakenim will become wise, the Yeshishim Chachma, among the elders we find wisdom, Ki Hadavar HaNikna Be'etma Zikna, because that which is acquired kind of somewhat intrinsically by Zikna, is who Ha'itad L'Kabbalah Hamayot Hamidotios, is the kind of becoming more prepared or more what's the word I'm looking for? Not conducive, but becoming more conducive to becoming, you know, improving your midos. The person becomes older, so their taivas start to recede. They become more patient.
More qualified,
right? So that you end up that's what happens to a person with zikna is that he's, you know, has a tendency more towards the acquisition of midos tovos. So the Rambam himself defines that when we say the Yeshishim Chachma does not mean that you become a brilliant scholar because you're old. It happens to be, you know, that the student of experience, what's the phrase? There's no teacher like experience. So it happens to be that, you know, generally people do become, there is a certain wisdom which can be gained with age, but the Rambam says that the natural progression of age is the acquisition of midos tovos, or is at least the becoming more in tune to the acquisition of midos tovos, but not wisdom, not knowledge and expertise in, you know, an area of knowledge or fact. So the Bishishim Chachma wouldn't really apply to the Rosh Sanhedrin. So you wouldn't become the most qualified for the Rosh Sanhedrin because you had the best midos. It was the person who had the best knowledge of the Kabbalah. So that would not really be a good explanation for why Achi Ashiloni was the most disqualified. Now, in terms of the second point that Achia Shiloni received from Moshe, so this would seem to be why the Rambam told us that Achia Shiloni was a Katan Bimei Moshe. This would seem to be why the Rambam tells us at the very beginning we saw, he says, the Levi Haya, the Shama Mi Moshe, he said he heard from Moshe, and the Rambam immediately qualifies and tells us, Haya Katan Bimei Moshe. But he was young in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, Achia Shiloni was still very young. And therefore, the Rambam seems to be telling us that therefore his Kabbalah from Moshe did not have the same effect on him as it had on those who were more mature at the time when they learned from Moshe. Pinchas and Eliezer and Yoshua, they learned from Moshe as mature adults, and therefore they were, you know, received the unparalleled Kabbalah of the Masorah. But Achia HaShiloni, his qualification through having received from Moshe did not impact him as much as it did those who were Gedolim at the time when they heard from Moshe. And therefore, Achia HaShiloni was not the wisest due to his receiving from Moshe, because his Kabbalah from Moshe was not a significant, it did something, but was not a significant impact on him, such that he was so much more qualified than anyone who had not heard from Moshe. And therefore, it was possible for Shmuel and Eli and David HaMelech to have been greater than him in Chachman. It wasn't until the time of after David HaMelech that Achia Shiloni was the greatest one in Chachman. After David HaMelech passed away, then it happened that there was no one greater than Achia Shiloni who was left. But Shmuel and Eli and Pinchas, Eli, Shmuel, and Pinchas, they all reached a madrigo, they all reached a level where they were greater than Achia HaShiloni in terms of their Kabbalah. Even though he had received from Moshe, his Kabbalah from Moshe was not such a powerful thing because of his age at the time, because of his maturity at the time, that it made such a big difference for the caliber of his Kabbalah. So, seemingly the two points that the Kesef Mishnah brings, not necessarily conclusive, not necessarily compelling to prove that Achia Shiloni must have been greater than David HaMelech. So rather, well, seems more reasonable to say that David HaMelech really was greater than Achia Shiloni. And the reason that David HaMelech was the Rosh Sanhedrin and not Achia Shiloni is because David HaMelech was greater in Chachma, like the Rambam says in Sanhedrin, that the Gavra b'Chachma, that the one who's the greatest in Chachma, he's the one who is appointed as the leader of the Sanhedrin. So the question is, so if we're going to say that, so now we have to go back to the Ravid. So what is the Ravid's question then? If it's true that Achia HaShiloni was greater in Chachma, so then what are the Ravid and the Rambam arguing about? I'm sorry, if it's true that David HaMelech was greater in Chachma, why should Achia HaShiloni not have received from David HaMelech? What exactly is the problem here? So Rav Weinberg wanted to suggest what the Ravid and the Rambam are arguing about, according to what we suggested last week, which was that we said, not last week, but last time we learned, we said that David HaMelech, we said that the Rambam has a rule that someone who is the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, the Rosh Sanhedrin, that they become the next link in the Masorah. And even someone who knew Kol HaTorah Kula and had all of Torah Shebaal Peh inside of them could not be a valid chain in the link of the Masorah if they did not receive the Masorah from the current Beis Din. And that's why we explain that Pinchas, even though he received from Moshe, that Pinchas had to receive from Yehoshua. Because once Yehoshua was the Av Beis Din, was the Rosh Sanhedrin, so Pinchas defines what the next iteration of Torah Shebaal Peh. And if Pinchas does not receive the Masorah from Yehoshua, even though he's not receiving anything new from Yehoshua, but he has to still receive the Tzura, the form of Torah Shebaal Peh, as taught by Yehoshua, in order to be a valid next step, next link in the chain of Torah Shabbat Peh. And therefore, Achia Hashiloni, the Rambam would tell us, the same thing. Even though Achia Hashiloni learned from Moshe, and seemingly fatherly learned from Yehoshua, and from Pinchas, and from Eli, and from Shmuel, and he had the Masorah, but he still had to receive it from David HaMelech, because David HaMelech was the next Rosh Sanhedrin, and it's not enough the fact that Achia Hashiloni happens to already know it. You have to receive the Masorah from the previous Beis Din in order to be the next Beis Din. And therefore, says the Rambam, that Achia Hashiloni was Mekabel from David. He really was Mekabel. He was being Mekabel, the Torah Shabbat Peh from David, not because he didn't know it, but because the Tzura, the form of Torah Shabbat Peh, as taught by David HaMelech in his Beis Din, that defined what Torah Shabbat Peh was, and in order to be the next link in the Masorah, he had to receive from David HaMelech. The Ravid seems to be arguing on that point. And the Ravid says that no, that it's true that Achia Hashiloni would be only be qualified to take over the Sanhedrin after David HaMelech, because Achia Hashiloni, because David HaMelech was greater than Achia Hashiloni. But it's still, why should Achia Hashiloni be Mekabel from David? He doesn't have to learn from David. He already knows it all. He might not be as great as David HaMelech, but David HaMelech doesn't have anything new to teach Achia Hashiloni. So why is Achia Hashiloni as a Kabbalah from Moshe and Yehoshua and Pinchas and everyone before who's been alive at this point for, 500 years or so? So he doesn't need to learn from David HaMelech. So to say that he was Mekabel from David HaMelech, says the Ravid, is unnecessary. What can you say? He was part of David's Beis Din. He was under David HaMelech, because David HaMelech was the greatest, and Achia Hashiloni was maybe, the second greatest, and therefore he was part of David HaMelech's Beis Din. That much would be true. But to say that he was Mekabel from David, says the Ravid, that's not why should Achia Hashiloni need to be Mekabel from David HaMelech if he already knows the entire Masorah? But the Rambam would say, no, even though he knows the entire Masorah, the point of a Kabbalah is not just because you don't know it yet. Even if he knows it, the point of the Kabbalah is to be mamshich, is to continue the Masorah from one Beis Din to the next. It's not just to pass on the information, but it is to transmit the Torah Shabbat Peh as it is in however the Beis Din taught it. It's to transmit that to the next generation, and that can only be done through the Beis Din.
So the issue we're dancing around is whether the Masorah increases in successive generations.
So that's one issue, that's one point, but even more basic than that is, even if there was no increase in actual content, but the format and the form in which the Torah Shabbat Peh was taught, that's what we mentioned sometime near the beginning of our learning of this topic, that the Rambam understands that the nature of Torah Shabbat Peh is that the reason we have a Torah Shabbat Peh is because it's meant to be expressed in the terms of each generation according to that generation, and therefore the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin of that generation, and the Rosh Sanhedrin of that generation establishes the form in which it's the same material, but the form in which that material is being taught will be the way in which the Masorah is the most preserved. If it is expressed to you in terms you understand, then you won't have the room for confusion that the written word leaves for interpretation. Did he mean this way? Did he mean that way? If the Beis Din, if the Sanhedrin, is a body of individuals who know what the Masorah is and can convey it to you in a way that you will understand clearly what is meant, that was the purpose of Torah Shabbat Peh. So Torah Shabbat Peh is defined by each generation by the Beis Din Gadol of that generation, and therefore the next Beis Din has to receive it from the previous Beis Din, because that is the nature of Torah Shabbat Peh, that it's being defined in each generation by the Beis Din Gadol of that generation. And therefore Achia Hashiloni, even if there's no new information, that happens to be that there might be new information, because there could be gzeiras and tekanas, and there could be drashos that the Beis Din made and things like that. But even if Achia Hashiloni would know all of those things, he would still need a Kabbalah from David HaMelech, because he still has to receive the Torah in the form that David HaMelech is expressing, that David HaMelech and his Beis Din have expressed it in order to be a link in the chain of Torah Shebaal Peh from one generation to the next. So that seems to be a suggestion of what the Rambam and the Ravid could be arguing about here. Now, just one final point here, which is an interesting note in the Rambam. We'll see if we can, how much time I left this as kind of an if we have time for it thing, and we'll see if we get through it or not. I know how much everyone loves going through tedious math calculations, but the Rambam here told us that Achia HaShiloni was katan, was small in the days of Moshe, right? So the question is going to be, where did the Rambam get that from, and is that really possible? And the source for the Rambam told us that Achia HaShiloni was miyotze Mitzrayim. He left Mitzrayim, right? He was one of those who was in Mitzrayim and was part of the Geula from Mitzrayim. So the source for that is the Gemara in Baba Basra. If you turn to the last page here, we have the Gemara, and we'll try and go through the whole Gemara, and then we'll kind of see the problem with suggesting that Achia HaShiloni was a katan, was young, seemingly what katan means in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Shiva Kiplu Es Kol HaOlam. There are seven people who, through these seven, you can kind of span the entirety of existence. Es Kol HaOlam Kulo. Mesushelach Ra Adam. So first you have Adam HaRishon. And Mesushelach overlapped his life over. He saw Adam HaRishon. Shame Ra'a Mesushelach. And Shame Ben Noah saw Mesushelach before the Mabel. Yaakov Ra'a Shame. Yaakov met Shame. Amram Ra'a as Yaakov. Amram, Moshe's father, saw Yaakov. Achia HaShiloni Ra'a as Amram. Achia HaShiloni saw Amram. That's really what we're looking for here. That's where the Rambam gets it from, that Achia HaShiloni was in Mitzrayim. Eliyahu Ra as Achia HaShiloni, and Eliyahu Anavi met Achia HaShiloni. The Adayin Kayim, and Eliyahu Anavi never died. Right, Eliyahu Anavi went to Shemayim alive in the fiery chariot, so he's still alive. So there are seven people who span the entirety of creation. So now the Gemara asks, the Achia HaShiloni Ra as Amram? Did Achia HaShiloni really see Amram? The Haksiv, the Lo Nosa Mehem Ish Kiim Kali Ben Yefuna Yoshua Ben Nun. That there was no one left from those who were in the Midbar, of those who left Mitzrayim and were in the Midbar, the only ones who remained were Kol Ben Yefur and Yoshua Ben Nun, right? Those were the only two left, and Achia HaShiloni therefore would not have made it. If Achia HaShiloni met Amram, and was therefore means that he was in Mitzrayim, so then how could he have left, how could he have survived and made it into Eretz Yisrael? Amar Rav Nuna, Lo Nigzar Gzair Al Shivto Shel Levi. So it's not because he was a Levi, and the Gzair was not made on Shevet Levi. Dechsiv, v'midbar hazeh yiplu figreichem, v'kol pigudeichem, v'kol misbarchem, mi ben esrim shana ramala. That everyone from 20, for the pikudim of 20 and up, Misha Pekudav mi ben Esrim, this means that this Gzeira was on anyone who is counted from age 20. When they did the census, sensai in the Midbar, they started counting them from age 20. Yatsa Shifto Shalevi, which means it does not count Shevet Levi, Shepekudav mi ben Shloshim. That Shevet Levi, they started from 30 and up. That's when they started counting. So the Gzeira of that you all die in the desert was not on Shevet Levi, and therefore Achia HaShiloni was not in that Gzeira. Says the Gemara, Umishar Shvatim Lo Ayu. You're telling me that no one survived from any other Shvatim? Bahatanya Ya'ir ben Menashe, Umachir ben Menashe, Noldu B'yemei Yaakov, Velo Mesu Ad Sheniknasu Liyisrael. That Ya'ir ben Menashe and Machir ben Menashe, they were born in the days of Yaakov, which means before Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they did not die until after they entered Eretz Yisrael. Shenamar v'Yaakov me'em anshei ha'ai k'shloshim m'shisha ish. V'tanya shloshim m'shisha mamish divrei Yehuda amar lo amar lo b'nechemia v'chi nomar shloshim m'shisha halo no nemar ala k'shloshim m'shisha ala zeh Ya'ir ben Menashe sheshakul gerba shal Sanhedrin. Not to get into the details of all of that, but basically that we have a brisa which says that Ya'ir ben Menashe was the one who attacked and defeated Ai. Ella Amar Rav Akaba Yaakov, lo nigz gzera, lo al pachos mi ben esrim, velo al yasser mi ben shishim. This gzera was not made on anyone younger than 20 or older than 60. Lo al pachos mi ben esrim, and so the Gemara brings Joshua's for both of those points. But so basically, the Gemara says that the exceptions to the rule of the Zera of dying in the desert was not on those who were less than 20 when they left Mitzrayim, and those who were older than 60, right? So the conclusion of the Gemara here seems to be that Achi Ashiloni was an exception because he was either less than 20 or older than 60. Now the question is, which was he? Was he less than 20 or was he older than 60? So we can make a very simple judgment. The Gemara told us that Amram lived to see Yaakov, right? Yaakov died, this is a pasuk right here, the first pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. Yaakov died 17 years after he came down to Mitzrayim, right? The Jews were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Yaakov died after 17 years, yeah? Amram died at the age, this is the next pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf, I'm sorry, in Shmos, Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf, the Pasuk says, Ushnei Chai Amram, Sheva Ushloshim Umaas Shana, that Amram lived to be 137, right? So Amram was born before Yaakov died, which was 17 years into the time in Mitzrayim. Amram lived 137 years, so that at the most gets us up to 154 years into the time of the Jews in Mitzrayim. So Amram died 154 years at most into the time that the Jews were in Egypt, right? If Achi Hashiloni were to have met Amram, that means that he had to have been born at the latest 154 years into the time of Mitzrayim. They were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. That means that Achi Ashironi was at least 56 years old by the time the Jews left Mitzrayim, right? So he could not have been less than 20. He must have been in the category of older than 60, right? So how could the Rambam tell us that Achi Ashironi was katan bimei Moshe, that he was young in the days when he learned from Moshe? He was at least 60. So he wasn't young, he wasn't in the katan, he was at least 60. He might have been older than Yoshua. Yoshua was only 54, right? So how could so what does the Rambam mean that he was katan, that he was young, that he was a youth in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Seems to come out in just in the calculation of the Gemara, he was at least 56, and therefore if he was either 20, less than 20 or more than 60, it must be that he was more than 60, right? So, two points to answer this question. The first point is that exactly how it works out with the psukim and how it works out with the math we just did, but there are Rishonim who seem to imply that the Rimi Gash, that Amram actually left Mitzrayim. How that works out with the fact that Amram was 150, lived to be 137, the Pasuk says, so what does it mean that he was Yotzi Mitzrayim and that he might have entered Eretz Yisrael? Right, exactly how that works out, so we could discuss, but there are Rishonim who say that Amram actually lived to leave Mitzrayim. So if we would say that, so it's very simple to say that Athia was very young in the time of the Midbar, and he still met Amram because Amram left Mitzrayim, right? Now we could say quite simply that Amram that Achi Ashiloni was less than 20, and that's why he wasn't part of the Gezerah, and that's why his Kabbalah from Moshe was not so great. Now it happens to be difficult to work out, as we just mentioned, because the math just doesn't work out so smoothly. There's ways around it, but it's very much not the simple understanding. My Rebbe, Rabbi Lachman, Rabbi Eliezer Lachman, I don't know if anyone knows him, he's the Rosh Kollel of the Friedman Kollel, the Kollel and only. So he actually had a different suggestion, but he said what the Rambam says katan does not mean katan in years, it means he was katan in chachma, that he was not, so that Achi Hashironi at that time was not so bright. He was not as much experience in learning or whatever it was, even though he might have been older, but he was not so great in his seichel, and therefore he just didn't understand everything that Moshe Rabbeinu taught him. And therefore his Kabbalah from Moshe was not a complete Kabbalah because it was a katan b'chachma, b'seichel. It was a katan, it was intellectually a katan, even though he might have been older in years, then, and therefore his Kabbalah from Moshe was not so great, and that's what, and he therefore still needed to receive the Kabbalah from later generations and was still not automatically greater through his Kabbalah from Moshe because he was not intellectually holding at the level to receive the Kabbalah from a Moshe Rabbeinu. But in any case, the you have to say something from the Rambam because the Rambam says he was a katan bimei Moshe, and it works out pretty. You know, if you take the simple judgment of the Gemara, that what the Gemara means is not that he was less than 20, but was that he was more than 60. But either way, the point is that Achi Ashiloni, he needed to receive the Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu. From David HaMelech. Whether or not he knew it all or not, because since David HaMelech was the Rosh Sanhedrin, was the greatest of his days, so in order to be a valid next link in the chain, you had to have received the Masorah from the previous Beis Din. Like we mentioned, is the Sheet of the Rambam, why Pinchas had to receive from Yehoshua, even though he received from Moshe, because one of the halachas of Torah Shabbat Peh is that it has to go from Beis Din to Beis Din. All right, we'll stop here.